This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to Joy 94.9.
Oh, thank you. It's lovely to be on a Melbourne radio station because, of course, I'm based in Sydney and we don't have a gay radio station up here.
Well, there you go, Andrew. There you go. It's probably one of the only things we do have that Sydney doesn't have. Now, Andrew, we're obviously celebrating. It's the 40th anniversary this year of the fabulous TV series, which was number 96.
Yes, it started on air 40 years ago. On March the 13th. And that was the night that Channel 10 put full newspaper ads in saying, tonight Australian TV will lose its virginity. And for once, they actually weren't exaggerating, although one newspaper did think that was a bit much and they changed it to, tonight Australian TV loses its innocence.
Well, you know, this is a show that's known for its sex, you know, scandal, nudity. It was quite risque in the time that it was airing, definitely, wasn't it?
You know what? It's still risque to think about it now. To think that 40 years ago, we were leading the world in terms of groundbreaking topics that we did on TV. It was screened at 8:30 on free-to-air TV and, you know, the UK and the US. Look, the UK still couldn't put this sort of stuff on at 8:30 today, 40 years later, because they have a thing called the watershed, meaning that you can only do adult stuff after 9 p.m. And on free-to-air TV in America, you wouldn't be able to screen one of those sexy episodes of number 96. So whilst cable TV over there has come a long way, we were miles ahead of the rest of the world with what we very casually put to air back then as entertainment for everybody to watch.
It's funny, even comparing it to us here now, I was watching Australia's Funniest Home Videos the other night, which I think is hilarious, and there was a clip where there was a little child, like 2 years old, running around with no pants on, and they scrambled the vision because that was so cheeky to have, you know, a two-year-old child being nude. And in number 96, there was like total full. I remember a woman running down the stairs with her fur coat flapping open. Everything. Seeing everything.
Yeah. That was towards the end of the series. They were doing full frontal nudity at 8:30 p.m. with the character of Miss Hemingway, played by Deborah Gray. She had an aversion to wearing clothes. So she was seeing a psychiatrist in the building and they were doing this very slow striptease in reverse order. She gradually started putting her clothes back on. Very funny stuff. But look, the early days of number 96, they were really going for a kind of a more gritty, dramatic edge. They quite unashamedly decided to make sex and nudity a feature of the show to get some attention, because back then Channel 10 was on the verge of going broke for the first time. They couldn't compete with 7 and 9. They didn't have a hit show, so they went for broke with number 96. But of course, by doing the sexy storylines, they actually started, you know, breaking up a whole bunch of taboos, because they were covering subjects like rape within marriage and drugs. And of course, the character of Don Finlayson, played by Joe Hashem, who was gay. Well, and of course, he became the first ever sympathetically portrayed gay man in the history of TV in the world. And indeed, he was still there 1,218 episodes later, and he had become the hero of the show. He was a lawyer, so everyone went to him whenever they had a problem. So, you know, we were way ahead of the rest of the world with what we did.
Poor old Don used to get bashed up a fair bit from my memory. I can remember, I used to love Don's bashed up acting. He'd blink his eyes and he'd put his hand over his mouth and, oh, poor bugger. I think he got bashed up a few times.
He did, yeah. I remember once someone bashed him because he'd been having sex with the man's brother. So there was a bit of that. I mean, they never ever shied away from the fact that even though Don was a regular guy and people liked him and nobody had a problem with his homosexuality. He did encounter homophobia throughout the 5.5 years. He had several boyfriends. But, I mean, that was just one of many topics. I mean, they had an African-American man in those very first episodes who kissed Sonia in the show, who was white, and he suffered some awful racial taunts and abuse when he went down to the local pub, but he deflected it with humour, and so they were able to kind of cover off on a racism story very early on in the show's history. And of course, he got accepted by everybody in the building too, because Number 96, as well as being a very multi-sexual show, was also a very multicultural show. And we've just had Fares Durrani say that Australian TV soaps today are too white, that Neighbours and Home Away are filled with Anglo-Saxons. He's absolutely correct.
Definitely.
Back in 1972, Number 96 had a Jewish delicatessen owner called Aldo Godolphus and his daughter. Vera Collins was South African. They had an Indian man who worked in the pharmacy. Justine Saunders played an Indigenous hairdresser. So we were way more multicultural back then in 1972 than we are today.
Which is the way Australian life is, and it should be depicted, shouldn't it, really, Andrew?
It's absolutely true. Yeah. I mean, at the time, people accused Number 96 of being ridiculous and outrageous, and all these things couldn't possibly happen in one building. And yes, that's sort of true.
Some of the cast that went through this short and long term is absolutely amazing. It's like, obviously, you know, in the 80s, in the female sector, there was obviously Prisoner, obviously, you know, which was a massive platform for a lot of female actors. But, you know, we had stars, Peter Adams, we had, we had Paula, Carmen Duncan come through, Wendy Hughes. There were so many people that came through this television show.
You know who else was in there as well, Sparks? Andrew, we got a regular guest who phones in. She's apparently at Deer Park Women's Penitentiary, a beautiful friend, Nolene, and she's in love with Lou from Neighbours, and Tom Oliver was a big star in Number 96.
Tom Oliver was huge in Number 96. He played Jack Seller, the original sort of lad around town who his character ended up taking Abigail's virginity. I mean, Abigail is sort of seen as being this sex symbol in it, and people go, oh, my God, I saw her nude in Number 96. Look, that's their imaginations playing a trick on them. Abigail was there in those early days, and her character was actually a virgin and a frigid one at that.
That's right. She had to seek help, didn't she?
She did, and she went to a psychiatrist, and because they discovered she was a virgin, they pulled her into a scheme where they were going to sacrifice her to the devil in a black mass.
I remember that very clearly.
And Vera Collins was in there too, because she was trying to get help to stop smoking, and of course they realised she had a bit of psychic power, so they were using her to go into a trance to conjure up the devil.
Poor old Vera, she copped it too, didn't she?
Very sadly, those episodes don't exist anymore. All the black and white episodes, except for 19 episodes, were all destroyed when we went to colour TV in 1975.
Oh,
and all
this
early groundbreaking stuff just thrown away. Can you believe it?
That is an absolute scandal. Sorry, because, you know, talking about that, this show was way ahead of its time. Way, way ahead of its time.
It was hugely ahead of our time, and the show was a major, major ratings phenomenon across all of Australia. It was being screened in every country town. The cast used to travel on a special train from Sydney to Melbourne.
The Spirit of 96.
Yes, and the train would stop at little country towns all the way through the night, and the station platforms would be packed with families in the middle of the night in their pyjamas, hoping to catch a glimpse of the stars. And then when it arrived at Spencer Street Railway Station, there were so many people there, they had to get a police escort to get the actors out, and the police estimated there were more people trying to see the stars of Number 96 than had come out to see the Beatles back in the 60s.
Wow.
This show was a phenomenon, but of course, we've never ever had a really good handle on nostalgia and our cultural history, and just like many, many years of Bell Bird were thrown away by the ABC, Channel 10 saw no use for black and white episodes of Number 96 and threw them away at the same time.
It's a crime.
It's absolutely terrible because, you know, when you actually see the remaining black and white episodes of Number 96 and indeed the colour ones, you get a real sense of the way Australia was in the 1970s. And I don't think we see that on TV now. I think TV is so homogenised and it's so about young, beautiful people who live in perfectly set-decorated rooms. I don't think if you put an episode of Neighbours or Home and Away into a time capsule and open it up in 40 years' time, you'll be able to say, gee, that's how Australia was in 2012. Yep. There's a disconnect going on now. Whereas you can watch the episodes of Number 96 today and you go, wow, I actually get a bit of a feeling for how Australia might have been back in the 70s.
Yeah,
Now, so when you say that so much of it was destroyed, in the box set that's coming out, what is actually in there?
Well, there are only 9 black and white episodes being held by the National Film and Sound Archive today. So I've put 16 of them onto these discs because each disc only holds 8 episodes. And then on the other 2 discs, the other 16 episodes, I've put the complete storyline before and after the bomb went off in the deli in 1975. So this collection's called The Beginning and the Bomb because it's the first ever episode, and then it's the story of the bomb going off and the mad bomber being caught and revealed. So it's really what the fans have been asking to see in the next DVD collection. So they get it both in one collection now.
Because there was a few, there was the mad bomber, but there was also the pantyhose murderer and the knicker snipper.
The knicker snipper sadly belongs, is part of that black and white era that doesn't exist anymore. However, in the previous DVDs we've released the Number 96 movie, and that included the 1,000th episode special, and they did have some clips from the knicker snipper there. But the pantyhose strangler luckily was in the colour TV era, so we've released the pantyhose strangler and an aftermath of murder. So there's 64 episodes in chronological order showing all of that. I mean, that's just brilliant stuff.
I remember an episode when the knicker snipper was around, and I think it was Dorian Herb's niece, was it Georgie?
Georgina.
And I can remember the knicker snipper was under Georgina's bed, and you just see this hand reach out and grab her knickers as she takes them off and pull them under
fantastic.
The bed.
Fantastic stuff. And you know what? The knicker snipper was causing such a to-do in Australia at the time, people desperate to find out who it was that was, you know, chopping up people's underwear, that it's actually credited as the reason that RSL clubs and pubs and hotels put TVs into the main bar because they were discovering that people were leaving the bar to get home to watch it at 8:30 at night. So they put TVs in the bar and started playing Number 96 in an effort to keep the patrons in the bar. That's a true
That's
story.
That's fantastic. And you'd been minding your knickers, wouldn't you, really?
Wouldn't he?
And it was all set in Paddington, wasn't it?
It was all set in Paddington, Sydney, which, of course, was a really good cosmopolitan area to do all of that. And, of course, you know, it is amazing to think back now that back in the days of Number 96, we had Don shacked up with his boyfriend Dudley, and they would, you know, sometimes have a fight. And the guy who wrote the show, David Sale, remembers being on a bus once and hearing two little old ladies behind him on the bus saying, "Oh, I do hope Don and Dudley get back together." I mean, this was the impact of Number 96. We were seeing gay men on TV back then. People were accepting it. I'm sure there was still homophobia and all that going on, but for young gay men like myself who were watching the show, they were going, wow, I'm not the only one. Mm. And there were other people out there that had probably never met a gay person in their life, but they liked Don on TV, and that maybe coloured their perception and maybe made them more accepting afterwards, you know?
And that couple of, like, Don being the person who you wouldn't pick as gay, and then Dudley being the over-the-top one who, you know, could quote musicals and had all these little, it was ever so good, you know, these little catchphrases and stuff. He was, you know, your stereotypical camp character. And, the lovely match that you say that people cared about their relationship.
that was a stroke of genius, wasn't it? I mean, we would describe Don today as being a straight acting gay. You know, people didn't realise he was gay till he came out and told them, and he was quite open about it, although poor old Dorrie Evans next door never did quite figure out what was going on there.
And she was the concierge.
She was the concierge of the establishment, correct, yes. But see, his boyfriend Dudley was over the top, camp, loved the old Hollywood musicals, correct. His catchphrase was, ooh, it was ever so good. Did you see that? Ooh, it was ever so good. And so, yes, that was brilliant, but people weren't just seeing one gay man. They were seeing a real cross-section of them. And, of course, we had men in there who, you know, came across as being homophobic, but then, of course, would reveal themselves as they threw themselves at Don, that in actual fact it was a cover for a fact that they weren't straight at all. They were actually gay, and they were desperately wanting to make contact with a gay man. They covered everything.
Andrew, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are so in tune with this and going to appreciate this. So this box set that is released, when is it released, Andrew?
It's coming out on March the 7th. I know it'll be at JB Hi-Fi and big retailers like that. But if you do have trouble finding it, you can always get it at the Umbrella Entertainment website, which is umbrellaent.com.au. And all the other ones are there for sale as well.
I think it's going to fly out and it's going to go quick sticks because it's such a fabulous show, and just what you've just given us. And I must say to you, Andrew, you are an historian of TV, and my God, you've got a photographic memory for a lot of the stuff that goes on.
Thank you. I have always been obsessed with Number 96. It's always been my favourite show throughout my whole life, and it's my obsession with that show has actually led me to the career that I have today. But, you know, nothing gives me more satisfaction than, you know, talking Umbrella Entertainment into releasing another DVD, because what happens is when we actually put this stuff onto the digital format to release onto DVD, we're actually preserving those episodes forever. And, you know, I think this is an incredibly important show, not just in the history of Australia, but in the history of television worldwide. So, you know, I think it's great. And if you love this DVD, write to Umbrella Entertainment and tell them you want more, because I want to see the whole thing preserved for future generations.
Well, Andrew McCutter, thank you so much for sharing with us what is probably one of Australia's classic shows of all time, and as I said, way ahead of its time.
You've made me excited about seeing it again.
Definitely.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.